Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, Birdland. I'm Mark Brown. I've been covering the Orioles for more than a decade on CamdenChat.com and hosting this podcast for 108 episodes and counting. It is now April the 12th, 2024. The Orioles remain undefeated in the Jackson Holiday era after winning their two games since the last time we spoke. These were some ridiculous games in which the Orioles could perhaps be said to have been gifted a couple of wins thanks to Red Sox defensive butchery, but you know what? I don't feel too bad for them, and the Orioles don't have to give the wins back. Thursday's 9-4 extra inning victory was especially bonkers, but when the dust settled, the Orioles handily won and completed a sweep on the road against their divisional opponent, so the Orioles will bring an 8-4 record back home to Baltimore. They are second place in the American League East, 1.5 games back of the leading Yankees. That pains me to say a little bit, but maybe it won't be the case for too much longer. In this episode, I'm going to keep on basking in the good vibes surrounding the team right now, especially the reappearance of the Homer Hose. Homer Hose, hon! I'm going to talk a bit about Jackson Holliday's early appearances and finish with some of the other smaller news developments in Birdland this week and what it seems like they will mean for the team over the next month or so. First and foremost, the chemistry on this team right now seems to be off the charts. After messing around with some rev-the-engine and handlebars celebrations in early seasons this year, the Orioles seem to have just decided to go back to what was magical last year with the water-based celebrations. The people in the Orioles marketing department who revived the birdbath section in Camden Yards for 2024 are surely the most thrilled out of anyone. And the Homer Hose made its return as Jordan Westberg hit a go-ahead home run in Boston on Wednesday. It appeared again on Thursday for multiple Orioles home runs, including the first two career home runs hit by Colton Cowser, or perhaps I should say Kelton Cowser, hun. But I do also need to say I thought there was a 0% chance, just strictly zero, that we were going to see the Homer Hose even one time in 2024, because it seems like the shelf life for these dugout gimmicks is 1 year, that's it, you're done, move on to something else. But there's one more for the file that shows that, much like Jon Snow of Game of Thrones fame, I know nothing. Cowser, who has had fans mooing at him since opening day, has now been dubbed the Milkman on Masson by Ben McDonald. McDonald has been exclaiming with glee every time Cowser does something good lately. The Milkman always delivers, and so he has done, certainly on Thursday night. Just an electric performance, the first two big league home runs. Cowser is now OPSing 1.379 so far for the young season. Of course, he was a part-time player for the first handful of games, so it's still a pretty small sample size, even relative to this only being 12 games. But you know what? Kowser, for now, he seems to have supplanted the deeply slumping Austin Hayes. Hayes, unfortunately, has zero hits so far in the month of April. So it seems like at least against right-handed pitchers, Kowser is in there as the primary platoon option. Maybe he will even be getting more playing time against lefties. We'll see. Kowser, by the way, also made a couple of great plays in front of the Green Monster on Wednesday that proved to be pretty crucial as the Orioles won that game. All in all, I think it's going to be pretty fun if these last couple of games are in fact signs that Kowser is going to end up in the Rookie of the Year conversation, perhaps instead of or even in addition to Jackson Holliday. And then there's the clubhouse vibes on top of this. You've got Kowser and Westberg, who seem to be the latest buddy comedy duo to grace the Orioles uniforms. These guys, they've gotten into the water theme. Kowser, he dumped a bottle of water on Westberg while Westberg was being interviewed on the field by Melanie Newman after Wednesday's win. Westberg got Kowser back the very next night with a two-water bottle dump on Kowser while Kowser was chatting with Newman after Thursday's win. That was, of course, because Kowser had just hit his first two big league home runs in that same game on the way to an Orioles victory. Kowser, as well as Gunnar Henderson, are in the crew with possibly others. That includes the Star Wars Lego building nerds. They've got their whatever $650 Republic era precursor to the Star Destroyer sets that that's their season project this year. It's all fun. It's easy for things to be fun when the team is winning. So hopefully the Orioles can just keep on winning to make it easy for things to be fun. In Boston, they managed to keep the fun rolling by winning two games that they maybe should have lost. But it turns out the 2024 Orioles, much like so far the 2023 team that also featured nearly all of the same players, are proving themselves capable of winning games that they probably should lose. Okay, so Holliday. Although he hasn't given us any signature great moments in his first two big league games, Holliday being on the roster is still a fun thing, I think, going on right now with the Orioles. I really still can't believe that the Orioles ended up bringing him up in time to get the full year of service, another one where I was wrong. There's just an excitement about Holliday arriving that I think might even exceed the excitement that came before Adley Rutschman called up. And the reason I say that is because while we all had a lot of hopes pinned on Rutschman's call-up heralding the start of the turnaround from the tanking era, which, with the passage of time, it now looks like is almost exactly what happened, Holliday is arriving when we've already seen good things, and he offers reason to believe that things will get even better, that the Orioles are going to be able to take it to the next level. So I think the baseline of excitement that Holliday is arriving in was already high, and the fact that he's exciting enough to kick it even higher is almost even more remarkable than what we saw with Rutschman. I think this has been demonstrated. I saw on Twitter from John Urand, who is the reporter who broke the news of the Orioles being sold to their current owners. Ratings on Masson were up 27% in the Baltimore market for Holliday's debut compared to the average game. It looks like as the team returns to Baltimore, it's going to be a nice crowd that comes into Oriole Park at Camden Yards for tonight's home game that's going to mark Holliday's first game in Baltimore. And you're going to have to go to the stadium if you want to see it, unless you subscribe on Apple Plus or whatever the streamer calls itself, because that's the only place the game is going to be. It won't be on Masson. If you pay for MLB.TV, it won't be there. It's only going to be on Apple. I'm not even going to get started on that rant in this particular episode of the podcast. As far as what we've actually seen from Holliday over his first two games, I think he looks pretty slick fielding grounders at second base. Maybe still needs to do a little bit of adjusting on making the throws look natural, but he's made a few nice plays, I think. Each of the first two games, though, also featured Holliday ending up being the fielder to get closest to a Bermuda Triangle pop-up. Probably should have been an outfielder's ball, I think, in each case. On Wednesday, Cedric Mullins got a bad read. On Thursday, Anthony Santander seemed to lose one in the lights, but the result in both cases was that Holliday is athletic and fast enough that he was able to get into a position where he probably could have caught the ball ended up overrunning it by a step while trying to do some kind of over-the-shoulder catch. And so he was the one who ended up looking bad because the ball bounced nearest to him and he didn't catch it. But I think particularly on Thursday, that one was blown by Santander and not necessarily Holiday's fault. At the plate, still waiting to see Holiday get a breakout moment. Now, this does fit the pattern I think that we've seen in most of Holiday's minor league stops. When he joined Low A Delmarva for the first time in 2022 after being drafted, he had only two hits over his first 15 at-bats. After joining High A Aberdeen in 2023, Holiday was hitless in his first two games there. And at AAA Norfolk, towards the end of the 2023 season, Holiday was just 1 for 13 after three games. At every one of these stops, he had incredible numbers within a couple of weeks. So, you know, I'm nothing more than a dude with a blog and a podcast, but it sure looks to me like Holiday is steadily learning, even as he's taking some lumps in these first two games. I think in some cases he's made some pretty good decisions about taking close pitches out of the zone right after swinging at bad pitches, again in some cases. I don't think he's missing out on quality contact by much, although so far every one of his in-play balls, I think, has been a grounder to either the second baseman or the first baseman. Other than on Thursday, he had one ball that he poked the other way that ended up being an error on the third baseman. Holiday's at-bat Thursday night against Kenley Jansen, probable future Hall of Fame closer on the Red Sox right now. That was one in Holiday was really made to look foolish. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. You just don't see stuff like that terribly often in AAA. I think that kind of shows why Holiday needed to be up here right away from opening day to begin with to start that learning process. I think he's here and he's going to be ready to learn, but we do wait for that first big league hit nonetheless, hopefully not for too much longer. I will be right back after a message from a Fans First Sports Network sponsor, and then I'm going to talk about some of this week's news and what it might mean for the next month or so of Orioles baseball.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On Thursday afternoon, John Means continued his rehab assignment at AAA Norfolk with an outing where he threw 61 pitches over three innings, two runs allowed on two hits and two walks in that time. I think that shows that the Orioles are going to be pushing Means as far as they can to the maximum 30 days that a pitcher is allowed to be in the minor leagues on a rehab assignment. I just don't think he's going to be built up to a full starter's workload of hopefully getting up to 100 or so pitches in a game until he's made at least two, maybe three more starts for Norfolk. And only at that point can we really turn our worries to whether he's going to have the ability to get out big league guys, which so far he isn't totally doing to AAA batters. But again, this is still like 3 weeks before the regular season for Means. So it doesn't quite matter yet. Once the calendar turns to May, it seems like Means is probably going to supplant Cole Irvin in the rotation unless he gets hurt and the rehab assignment is just ended because of Means being hurt. And then we're going to start to see what Means has to offer at the big league level in 2024. This week brought another announcement about rehab for an Orioles starter. In Monday's episode of the show, I said that I hoped the team would be making an announcement about Kyle Bradish starting a rehab assignment sometime this week. That's exactly what has ended up happening, as the team ended up saying that Bradish would start out an assignment at Aberdeen this week. That was actually supposed to happen yesterday, but with wet conditions in Aberdeen, the team seems to have decided to just have Bradish throw some live bullpen instead of pitching in a game where he might get rained on and the game might get delayed. I would guess that we're probably going to get close to the full 30 days of rehab for Bradish as well. I don't think that clock ended up starting officially, since Bradish did not actually pitch in Thursday's game. The transaction log does not reflect him having been assigned on a rehab assignment yet. That sort of thing does show up if you go to Orioles.com/roster/transactions. Under March, you can see John Means' rehab assignment started March 31st. Go to April. As of this recording, there is nothing about Bradish having started a rehab assignment. So I don't know. Maybe there's some gray area there, but either way, it seems like a mid-May return is what we can probably now move from a tentative hope for Bradish into maybe a bit more of an active hope, assuming he's able to get through what I think will be the 30 days of a rehab assignment. So if nothing else changes in the rotation between now and then, I think it seems like Bradish would probably take the rotation spot of Tyler Wells, who up to this point has not been recreating the first half of 2023 magic. So, like, if both Irvin and Wells shuffle into the bullpen 3 to 4 weeks down the line, who's going to get shuffled out of there? And by the way, there's one more thing in this week's news to make the bullpen a more crowded mix, as the Orioles decided to make a cash considerations trade for Mets reliever Johan Ramirez, who had been designated for assignment by the Mets earlier this week. The 29-year-old righty is now a veteran of 5 MLB seasons, but the Orioles are going to be his 6th different MLB team. He brings a 4.31 career big league ERA into the organization, was designated for assignment by the Mets probably because he'd given up 7 runs in 5 1/3 innings over his first 3 games. So the Orioles, I guess, are hoping there's something they're going to be able to fix and have better about Ramirez. I think that Ramirez, when activated within a day or two, probably going to replace Jonathan Heasley in the bullpen. Heasley is able to be option to the minors. That might only last until C&L Perez returns from his oblique injury, whenever that ends up being. Perez seemed optimistic it would be a short injured list stay, but the baseball world is littered with instances of players or their managers seeming optimistic about returning within a certain timetable, and they don't end up making it. So I don't know. Why Elias has bothered with this acquisition is not something I immediately understand. Mike Elias's fringe roster moves, they're often weird. Generally, they also don't end up mattering very much, such as the now-ended Tony Kemp experiment over the first 10 games before the Orioles brought up Holiday. But yeah, who would get squeezed out if Irvin heads into the bullpen as a long man in another 3 weeks, and then if Bradish pushes Wells into the rotation in a month's time? The roster math, it's the same as it was before the season. The only guys who can be optioned once Heasley is out for Ramirez, presumably, are Keegan Aiken, Yennier Cano, and Dylan Tate. So far, none of them look like they should be sent down even to make room for somebody else, because they're all pitching pretty well. Mike Bauman and Jacob Webb are the two guys more on the fringe with no options. But other than Bauman's cruddy outing in Pittsburgh, he's done more or less fine. Webb has done well, full stop. So it's just a crowded picture there. Wells, with 2 minor league options remaining, I guess could theoretically get sent down to the minors if once he gets shoved out of the rotation. I'd feel bad for him if that happened, but, you know, the Orioles have to do what they deem is best to give them a chance to win. So I don't know. We're just going to have to see what happens between now and the end of April to see if anything unexpected happens to change the roster picture and make all of these hypothetical scenarios be moot. One last move has hit the fringes of the roster over this week as the Orioles claimed infielder Livan Soto from the Los Angeles Angels. If this name sounds at all familiar, you might be an Orioles sicko because Soto was actually in the organization for 10 days back in February. The Orioles claimed him on waivers, and then 10 days later, he was on waivers again and claimed by the Angels. But now he's back because the Angels put him on waivers and the Orioles claimed him again. So, Soto, 23 years old, he's got two minor league options remaining. That means he's been assigned to Norfolk. We don't have to squeeze him onto the big league roster right now. I think it's good to have some infield depth in Norfolk that's already on the 40-man roster. The Orioles actually had no such player down in Norfolk on the 40-man roster as an infielder before making this waiver claim of Soto. Now, if the Orioles end up needing the depth that Soto provides, probably that's not going to be a scenario that Orioles fans are too happy about, but it's good to have the depth anyway if there is an injury that requires, say, Jorge Mateo to be pushed into a starting role. You're going to want somebody on the bench who can sort of competently handle some stuff, and it seems like Soto is now going to be the guy who's in that position, assuming this occurs before the Orioles decide that they want to call up Kobe Mayo or Connor Norby or whatever anyway. With how Brian Baker, the Orioles 40-man roster is now full, so from here on, any subsequent moves are going to require someone to be removed from the 40-man roster. So with how Brian Baker, Matt Crook, and Caleb Ort are pitching so far for Norfolk, it seems like there's still some room to shuffle off a few guys without very much immediate pain. But the Orioles, I think they may also be in trouble if they need to test their relief depth. I think that is something perhaps evident by midseason moves like the addition of Ramirez after he was cast aside by the Mets. But maybe it won't be so bad if it turns out that Irvin and Wells are part of the Orioles' relief depth within about a month. And that, I think, would make the picture look a little bit better, at least assuming that Irvin can look decent as a multi-inning reliever as he did in the middle of last season, and assuming that Wells can look as good as he has done towards the back end of the bullpen in past seasons where he was not in the rotation. Don't forget, you can drop a message to me over email at camdencastpod@gmail.com, or you can show up in the comments on Camden Chat and get my attention. There I go by the name EatMoreSK, and if you do either of those things, you can get a question or topic into the mailbag for a future episode of the show. That's all that I've got for today. If you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and maybe tell an Orioles fan friend you know about the show as well. Thank you to everyone for listening and subscribing. I will be back on the regularly scheduled on Monday morning to talk about whatever has happened in Birdland between now and then. Hopefully we will be continuing the good vibes with an awesome series at home against the Brewers, who are bringing a record of 8-3 and a first place position into this series against the Orioles. Good Morning Birdland is a Camden Cast production on the Fans First Sports Network. This is Mark Brown signing off.